Yo, it's the most dope show. It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. 3 guys on, representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes, so you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, cause we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He woke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising the daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit, that got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of the shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. 3 guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang.
Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't gonna get about you, bro. Yeah, yeah. Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, suave.
Beware of any heartbreak.
Any heartbreak.
I'm really not sure what made it N-E exactly. Is it just because they were the ones singing it? Because it seemed like regular heartbreak to me.
Yeah, there's nothing specific. I guess the specific thing would be like most people wouldn't be on the news, Channel 5, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Center stage, the girl's looking at you, but then you're just kind of bragging. You're like, hey, look at us. We're on TV. And
those don't sound like heartbreaks at all.
No. Like, you know what? We're going to another town.
Right.
We don't do the normal heartbreaks.
Beware the NE heartbreaks. It's different out here for us.
Yeah, we're just going town to town, getting our hearts broken. That sounds tragic, actually.
Right.
Or they're breaking hearts.
That
one or the other.
True too. Somebody's heart getting broken.
Maybe if you just looked at their contracts, that's where the heartbreak really came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they still have like disputes every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're touring right now. At least they toured this summer.
Did you watch that documentary on Netflix about the women of hip hop?
No.
Oh, okay. It's pretty good. It's basically 4 parts, I believe, about women in hip hop history. And I think Dream Hampton did it.
Okay.
You know, she always does top quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm on part 3 or 4 right now. We're talking about Megan Thee Stallion and Dee Barnes.
They go by generations.
No, it's just they tell the story as the topics come up. They go by these chapters. Each chapter is a topic.
Mm.
And so some, you know, I think like each episode has like 4 like bullet points to hit. And this one about like just how hard it is to be a woman in the hip hop and dealing with misogyny and all that stuff. It's a really good one.
It's called Ladies First.
Yep.
And me and Roger kind of talked about this, but a big reason why a lot of quote unquote men keep complaining about hip hop not being as good is because a lot of the men sound the same and the women are dominating. And not only are they dominating, they're not attached to a penis. Like no man is coming out and kind of repping for them or quote unquote giving them that male badge. You have Megan and Cardi out here talking about wet ass pussy, and a lot of men's egos don't know how to handle that because as far as they're concerned, rap is supposed to be quote unquote all men or men related or men targeted. Like you don't have a whole genre of other people, LGBTQ people out here that also want to rap too. Y'all don't own rap.
Yeah, it's good. It's from the perspective of women, and it kind of talks about a bunch of different things at once, but it's also just good if you love hip hop. I don't think we've ever had somebody really recognize the women in hip hop before like this.
Right.
And Dream Hampton is so good at just making sure people get their flowers. And so, you know, seeing like them go back all the way to Roxanne Shanté and pull up like archival footage of interviews like with Salt and Pepper and stuff. It's just, if you love hip hop from that era, it's just amazing to see. And and everyone looks so good in it, and it's cool.
Yeah, listen to, I think Roxanne Shanté is still on whatever the old school rap station is on satellite radio. LL Cool J runs it.
Mm-hmm.
She's on in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. And because you think about it, I was a kid when she was famous, but she was a kid.
Right.
She was like 14. So she's I'm not that much older than me, but I feel like she's been like, you know, a big name or a star in rap since I was a kid. But 14 years old is pretty ridiculous to.
Yeah, they show when KRS-One like had that line about she was only good for steady fucking.
Yeah.
And then they like, you know, he's talking about a 15-year-old here. Like, right. Like, maybe everybody didn't realize at the time, but, you know, this is a pretty reprehensible thing to say. And it was just like seen as just a battle rap at the time.
Someone posted a song. I mean, I forget what it was. I think it was BDP. I think it was KRS-One.
Yeah, it might have been Love Is Gonna Get You.
It wasn't that one. It was something I hadn't heard. It was a video that was made. It must have skipped me somehow back then, but it was about being into teenage girls.
Oh, yeah. I forget. It was on that. I want to say it was on that. Was it on that? It wasn't on that same album somewhere, because I feel like I just remember being shocked when I listened to it, because I was a little behind my cousins and stuff. They were into like NWA and BDP and stuff way before I was. And yeah. I was still listening to like Fresh Prince. And then I like went and got that tape. And I remember being like, it's not weird. This dude is rapping about fucking little girls. And like,
yeah, like, well, I somehow missed. I mean, BDP was huge. I don't know. I'd missed this song altogether back then. There's a video. Yeah. Someone said in the chat, Jimmy said 13 and Good is the name of the song.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
someone posted it on Twitter recently. And I was like, I don't even remember that song. But it's him and like a couple guys hanging out. Like they had a budget to make a video. That's the weird thing. Like someone put up money for this.
I didn't realize they had made a video for it. I remember hearing the song and being like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like we just going to the next track. But that happened a lot though. Not just for BDP. I was listening the other day, just listening to some Tribe Called Quest. And the song about date rape came on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I remember it as like a pretty like forward thinking track at the time. Like, oh, yeah, the infamous date rape is, you know, it starts off with him telling dudes what to like. Hey, this is real. This is a fact. And this is because, you know, women are saying that no, and you guys are just trying to force it anyway, and you shouldn't even do that. Just leave it alone, blah, blah. And then Fife comes in his verse and is immediately like, basically like these women, they always fucking teasing us and playing us and crying rape when we didn't even do anything. And right. It's our fault for trying to have sex with them. But it is there, but it's more like, fellas, be careful. They'll say rape, but you didn't do it.
Jesus. Oh no!
So he must have gotten the assignment like, hey, we're going to do a song about date rape, so bring in a verse. And he brought it a completely different tone.
Yeah. It was so wild. And then when Q-Tip...
He did not understand the assignment, apparently.
And then when Q-Tip comes back for the third verse, it's like a nursery rhyme style. And it's like, but it's to the woman now. And it's,
right,
you know, being like, hey, I'm not trying to get accused of rape, but, you know, maybe I know what's really the problem. You're on your period. And when you're on your period, you're emotional. That's why you act that way.
What?
And I respect that you have a period, and I'm not trying to disrespect you, but hey, just know that that's what this song is about. I'm like, what happened to the first verse? The first verse was fine.
Right.
What the fuck happened to this song?
You don't need to skip the third verse. Make it an interlude.
Like Fife shouldn't even have been on this track. He wasn't on every track back in the day anyway. Right. I should have immediately deleted his shit. Like he didn't understand the assignment. And then the third verse should not have been about like, and I get it. Y'all be getting periods and stuff. And then y'all say y'all got raped. No.
Right.
That's not how it works.
That doesn't even make sense.
Right.
So dumb. It doesn't make sense.
But yeah, that stuff used to be in all the music I listened to, even the good guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would be like, you know, it just went over my head, or just I thought they were still good because their song wasn't like, you know, and then fuck the bitch and just smack it in the face. Like I was like, oh, well, they're better than those guys, but that nobody was really good.
That I've put stuff on the, like, I'll look for old music for the playlist, the between episodes playlist. And sometimes I'll pull up an old song and be like, oh, that's a good song. And then like later I'm listening to it and like, oh, wait a minute. Like there's the punks jump up and get beat down by Brand Newman. There's a whole thing about they don't like gay people.
Bruh. Like I thought, and that song gets played in like movies, commercials. That Sprite gave them a campaign at the time.
Yeah.
And then you listen to the lyrics, because that's the other thing. Back in the day, you could watch a video or listen on the radio, it was edited.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then you get that tape and you hear the version that ain't got none of that shit blanked out. And you're like, oh, they were saying the F word. They weren't
right.
There was no illusions about this just being men that you call punks because you think they're doing some bullshit. No, no, no. You mean gay people. You are gay bashing in this song.
Yeah. Like there are a couple songs that I've put on the playlist and realized later that word was in it. I was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have, but too late. I could always take them off. But then there's a few that I'm listening to. I think there's a BDP one. There's definitely an EPMD one where it's like, oh, that word is just prominent. Like, you know, it was a different time. No and that problems. Word didn't really fade away until like the late 90s. It took a while to fade away completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I remember right before Common got like super duper conscious.
Yeah.
He had a lyric on one song where he was like, in a circle of F words, your name is mentioned. And I was like, Common, that don't even seem to align with your brand.
Mm-mm. Right. It's kind of forced. It's not even like that good of a rhyme.
Right.
He had to get that out there.
Like, come on, man. Like, what is happening here?
And that was like 99. That was like order of chocolate.
Right. And so that's why I tell people when it comes to music, yes, it does grow and it evolves and it does change. But sometimes, you know, our generation has a tendency to get quote unquote nostalgia and all our bullshit we want to excuse, but we don't want to excuse none of these other kids and their bullshit ass music.
Right. I'm looking at these lyrics for Punks Jump Up. Though I can freak, fly, flow, F up a fuck up a F word, don't understand their ways. I ain't down with gays. What?
Right.
Oh no! What?
There's a lot of pontificating back then.
Yeah, that would not be accepted now.
Yeah. I mean, J. Rue the Damager has stuff about like women respecting themselves and a lot of like real paternalistic kind of nonsense. At the time, though, he was like a chin stroking, thoughtful guy. You know,
there's a lot of ladies, you know, ladies, here's what you need to do type of bullshit.
Right. Yeah. Like if you want to be a good person, here's what you got to do, ladies.
If you want my attention, like I remember Tribe had a lyric, Q-Tip said, ladies, make a form on your sexual drive, devote it to your lover and make it thrive. I'm like, okay, so we're telling the women to be faithful to their men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm pretty sure you have songs on here that are like, I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and
right.
Like, come on now. You don't believe that.
Respect yourselves, ladies. Then I'll respect you.
Right.
But yeah. Also.
Yeah. You have a lot of closing their legs, closing your mouths, unless you want to be a hoe. And I like the hoes now, but I wouldn't dare marry one, even though that's what I'm into.
Right. There was this video. I'm going to pull it up. I saw it once on YouTube. I don't even remember what they were talking about, but it's just kind of a sign of the times. It's like some group of people, Lauryn Hill, J. Rue the Damages in there, I guess probably other people too. They're pontificating about white people being wicked.
Oh shit.
But it's just a lot of that sort of like, you know, intellectualizing kind of talk of the era.
I don't hate all white people, but it's safe to assume because of history, that all white people are out to get you. It's just that's safe. It's like, and they say that the best teacher of the future is the past. If in the past all these white men was doing all this stuff to me, it'd be dumb for me to be thinking he my friend and come and hug him and embrace him, because then I'm giving him the chance to kill me. As a black man in this society and knowing how things are going on, it's safe for you to assume that any man, that white man is out to get you. See, it's nothing wrong with being prejudiced because we all prejudge. You prejudge food before you eat it. You know what I mean? When you want to go to the store, you prejudge the outfit before you put it on. You see what I'm saying? So it's safe to prejudge. You have to know that every brother is not a brother and every other is not a other, but you must know who your enemy is. And on a major scale, on a worldwide scale, the white man is my enemy. So any white man that I see, I have to assume that he out to get me until he does something that proves otherwise.
Okay, but now
I don't even have a problem with that.
Yeah, that part was the least problematic so far. He was spitting bars.
Right.
Power, then you need 150% of the black race because we don't have the economical power.
But it's like
It's all economics. Nobody's recognizing the fact that we're not thinking about
it. It is economics, but you have to understand this.
Cutting her off.
Love you as long as you make money for them.
Listen,
a woman talking
to an extent, though. To an extent, though. That's to one extent, though.
Exactly.
Listen, but listen to this. You have no real economic power, though. Even though, but listen to what I'm saying.
So Method Man is back here. Mm-hmm. I think Irv Gotti's back there. I don't know what this event was. Maybe backstage somewhere at a festival or something.
I don't
know. No, even though you make on it, but it's like this. How can you have economic power? It's like this. You have to listen to this. How can I have anything?
You're really not going to let him talk.
Of course not.
Listen to what I'm saying,
though. Why can't you defend it?
Listen to what I'm saying. You seeing why we can't defend it? Because as a people, we being oppressed by the police with the guns.
Well,
listen, what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is this. We keep on going like this. They.
But I'm not saying they. I'm not saying they. I'm saying this.
Hold on a minute.
You misunderstanding what I'm saying, though. This is what I'm saying.
We don't know what you're saying. You won't say it.
Right. That must have.
It's just. I feel like I've been in these, stood in these circles and been in, it's just like, it's something about this just screams like 1995 to me.
Yeah. You know what this I mean? Is me at my freshman dorm in the lobby. I'm the person that's not pictured here that is walking by and just trying to avoid being sucked in.
Trying to get to my 12 o'clock math class.
Like I'm going to pick, just, you know, tag yourself in this photo. I'm way in the back.
Right. I guess she finally gets a chance to talk somewhere around here.
And everybody misconfused
it. I'm saying this. What I'm saying is we deal with reality right now. I'm saying let's deal with the basis of right now. We're talking about how we were kings and queens. That's all good. We discovered math and science. But now let's master math and science for right now. Exactly. So we can have economic power. We have to deal within ourselves and eliminate them from our equation completely. Keep on dealing like the white man. You know, as soon as you say the white man took everything away from me, that means you got to give him props for everything that you do have. Because every time that he took something away, that means he left, you know what I'm saying? He took his noose out. He took his pressure off just a little bit so that you could win. What I'm saying is you can't give him all the credit.
Happening.
No.
I see, but I'm not giving him the credit.
I'm not quite following that, but, you know, it's fine.
Also, she didn't pay her taxes later, so math and science does matter.
It does.
It's important.
Right.
Very.
And as is the white man and his rules.
Right. Yeah, it's, and then, you know, then you, also when someone tries to get conscious on a song, it's going to be a lot of math and science. A lot of 5%er stuff kind of filtered out.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely of its time. That's an era of black discussion and empowerment that definitely like was very 1996 right
there.
And those people, it's interesting that so many of those artists never really went beyond that, you know, that were preaching that, you know, J. Ruta Damager. I don't know the last time I heard from him.
He went to Europe and he promotes shows now, I think.
Yeah.
In Europe. He's like a promoter.
So, he's over there with the white man.
Right. Exactly.
Thanking him for everything he got. That's sad. She was right.
That's actually one of the comments on YouTube. J. Ru, every white man is out there to get me. Also, J. Ru moves to Berlin.
Oh man, that was a time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's classic, like, yeah, like you said, dorm, like, you know, freshman year kind of conversations. Read a couple things, and
because everything is a theory, because most of the time you're old enough to experience life, but not old enough to realize like what really happens in life.
Right.
Also, that's pretty tame compared to some of the shit I've heard. So
yeah.
They didn't even get to call the chain.
They couldn't call the white people devils or shaitans or none of that shit. They were kind of keeping it in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I want to know what this is from. Was this had to have been backstage somewhere?
Yeah,
at some kind of event. But I kind of feel like these conversations probably took place all the time back then.
Yeah, you know, they credited Lauren as the Fugees, so that's before Miseducation even.
Yeah, her credit was from 94. So this must have been like 94, 95, which would have been, early Wu-Tang era.
Yep.
Irv Gotti, I don't even think I would have heard of him by then. Maybe.
Yeah. 94. I don't know. It's funny. I grew up those were like some of my favorite rap groups, the quote unquote underground dude people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like a lot of their beliefs and personal like conversation, I never really was thinking they were the smartest, you know.
Oh no.
But, like I'd be like, oh, this is a good rhyme, but no, I can't live my life by the tenets right. these people are proposing.
And yeah, and you know, these days every 20-year-old gets all their thoughts recorded publicly because they post them.
Right.
We all probably had things we'd have been looking back on, like what was I on at that point?
This is why I don't judge this generation. We are no better. The shit just was not recorded.
Right.
And even hearing Method Man, because he's been pretty open about his mental health,
mm-hmm.
talk about who he used to be. And he carried all this anger with him and had all these issues. He was really insecure. He thought everybody hated him if they didn't talk to him the right way and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you're just mm-hmm. you've got to realize, oh, these are people working through. They're new into adulthood. They're just trying to work through.
Correct.
And then now they're famous and they're making money and all these things. Lauryn Hill was younger than everybody probably in that yeah. room.
I mean, think about it. We laughed about it, but Red and Meth stayed high all the time.
Right.
Yes, they did. It was a running joke.
That's not normal.
Right. They have movies about how high. Did two movies about getting high.
Yeah, we were just like, look at these lovable stoners, and instead, it's like they might got some type of deep-seated PTSD.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Method Man said he basically had depression and didn't know it for years.
I could see that.
It manifested itself in like lashing out at others, basically. Mm-hmm. And he was just walking around not knowing he was depressed, which a lot of people probably are the same way.
Right. They don't know the symptoms. They don't, because it looks different on everybody.
Yeah, he was in Men's Health. That's what it was. It was this month. It was this, mm-hmm. the recent issue of Men's Health.
Yeah, talking about that. He basically came out and was like, he didn't want to be a sex symbol and all that stuff. And Roger yeah. brought up a good point. He was like, yeah, but a lot of women who would be like, fight the power, was like, nope, fuck that. You still is fine.
Men don't get to opt out of being a sex symbol.
Right. It's just part of you.
Yeah. It's just it's fucked up and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But them is the rules. All right.
It is that clip of the woman from Modern Family walking up to him and just.
Yeah.
Like recently, like, you're so fine. I just had to tell you. And she runs away like a giggling yeah. schoolgirl.
Like, know? Men do not get to have body issues or anything. It's just like, you are out here and it is what it is. Okay. I'm lusting after you.
Right.
Because women are like, yeah, we got to deal with the bullshit.
You do any morning show, mm-hmm. it's savage. The morning women on the morning shows be savage.
Yes, sir.
Method like, Man.
I hear what you're saying, Method Man. And, yeah, I definitely agree. Mental health is very important. Can you take off your shirt?
Let's talk about physical health for the rest of the conversation.
Let's do something with these dumbbells. And yeah, tell us about the new album.
He said it went from just childhood joy to this euphoric feeling of celebrity to feeling inadequate and not good enough. That's when the depression and stuff came in. Not even knowing that I've been depressed since I was a youngster, a lot of PTSD I had never dealt with before started resurfacing. I guess in recent years, he kind of started dealing with it. This is the Men's Health hip hop issue.
Oh, okay.
Because Busta Rhymes started getting in shape recently.
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent always looks like he's on steroids or something.
Yeah.
Ludacris.
That's interesting because 50 had got a little pudgy like the last few years, but I think he's touring again.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. Common's always been in pretty good shape. Yeah. Wiz Khalifa was, I think he did a thing where he got into working out.
Yeah, yeah. Super into working out right before the pandemic.
Yeah. And then Method Man, I think around, I don't know if it was pandemic or just before, but he said he had insomnia. He couldn't sleep. He just started going to the gym at like 4 a.m. because he had nothing to do.
Mm.
And I guess he got hooked on it. But yeah, a lot of these guys are in their 50s now.
Yep.
Maybe almost all of them, except for, I don't know how old Ludacris is.
I don't think Ludacris is 50.
Well, he look young. He always looked young.
Yeah, yeah. If he's 50, he's like 40 something.
What? Yeah, he might be like 45.
That sentence makes no sense.
Oh, if he's 50. I mean, if he's close to 50. I don't think 50, he's over 50. My bad.
If he's 50, he's like 40 something.
My bad.
He was born in 1977. So he'd be like 45, 46.
Okay.
So yeah, he's a little younger. This is the video of Julie Bowen from Modern Family swooning over 50 Cent.
guys.
You are so fine. I'm sorry. I tried to find you, but you're so freaking fine. Thank you. Oh my God.
So at least she acknowledges she was objectifying him.
It's just, look, there's no rules for the women in the fucking entertainment space when a man is fine. It just is what it is. You just got to accept it.
Yeah, the Duke
you'll be fighting that battle forever. And no, it's not the same because men cannot and better not. Like Regis better not bring on, you know, whoever and be like, oh, you so fine. Oh, my God. Like you going to lose your job that day.
Right. I'm going to go touch Method Man. I'm just going to go stroke his back.
Like, this the one area where you can do this shit. If Michael Strahan did this to Megan Thee Stallion, he would be holding a box of his belongings by 2 p.m.
Yes. Before the show aired, he'd be out the door.
He'd be making a video like 3 days later. Like, guys, I've listened and I've really reflected on what's
happened. And I've learned.
I've learned so much. And, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm so sorry, especially first and foremost.
Yeah, the dude that played Jon Snow was like, hey, dog, I be going out here doing shit. We'll be grabbing my ass and grab my dick. And they was like, fuck you. I was like, no, y'all can't be doing that, dog. Like, that's not right.
Yeah, he said he was having like a nervous breakdown situation and no one cared. Women were like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's so funny. Oh, man.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Can you show us your biceps real quick?
Yeah.
You are so fine. I'm sorry. I tried to find you, but you're so freaking fine. Thank you. Oh my God.
All right. Really? Remember, name three songs.
Right. Name. No.
It don't even matter.
Remember, the Tongan dude that was the Olympics, like when they had to open the ceremonies. He came out and he was like shirtless and like spinning fire or something. And he was so fine. They had him on like the morning shows just to fucking gawk. Like he didn't have a thing to say or he didn't like win some event that they were like, oh, we got to talk to the new world record. They were just like, get his fine ass with Kathy and
the other one when they used
and Hoda. Oh man, it's so funny.
When they used to do the real life morning mimosas.
Yeah, there is literally no version of that. There's no other version of that where like men are like, let's go. We saw a woman on TV. She looked good as fuck. We don't know what she do. Get her on the show. You know, like maybe Howard Stern when he was interviewing porn stars
doing
or something.
Right. Day, right.
Although you could argue that porn stars do have a talent and a thing that they do.
Right.
So I don't know if there's another version of this.
Mm-mm.
Not to that level. Not to that level where like a sitcom star of one of the most popular shows of the last 15, 20 years is doing that. You know, like,
yeah,
it's different if it's like, you know, some wacky morning radio show and they're doing stuff like that. But the star of Modern Family just throwing herself at Method Man.
Yeah.
You're so fine.
Oh, my God. And you can feel that way on the inside, but you better not say that shit.
Right.
If I seen Megan Thee Stallion, I'll be thinking it, but I'm not dumb enough to lose my bread.
Right. So, Megan, before we talk about your new album, you're so fine.
Yeah. So you said you got shot in the foot. That sounds very traumatic. We're going to get to that in a second. Can you stand up and spin around for me?
Right. It really is Howard Stern level where he would be like, let me smell you. Like he would just
yeah,
would do that with women all the time. What's your hair smell like? Let me smell it.
Oh, my God.
Let's get to we only have like three comments actually this week. So,
okay.
Or maybe a little more than that. Maybe a couple more than that. Yeah, On My Pancakes sent us a thing. We had talked about, there was a tweet that got passed around of Nas praising Larry Elder. Turned out to be fake. We got. Y'all might have already discovered this, but it wasn't the rapper Nas that was co-signing Larry Elder. It was just some dude with Nas as his name who bought a blue check mark.
Oh.
Y'all can continue listening.
That's what happened when you bought it, because with the check marks, it eliminated that bullshit.
Yep. It's supposed to. Y'all can continue listening guilt-free.
Can pay.
As far as we know, his only offense is still that belly performance. That was the real Nas. Mario comments that we were talking about Eddie Glaude and Mark Lamont Hill just getting dragged ad nauseum. He said people like Eddie Glaude and Mark Lamont Hill have at least two choices. either they can ignore the social media comments, understanding that is just what Twitter does, or when they go on camera or not a microphone to fret or on a microphone to fret about the state of democracy, they make sure to always speak to their role in getting us into this mess. They shouldn't try to yada yada past their roles in this, because the internet doesn't forget. Perhaps it's unfair, but being a public figure is not fair. To quote Angela Bassett, that's the job. I think, yeah, because those are the two that reply the most.
Yeah.
When people try to dunk on them on Twitter. And that's part of it. It's like they're sort of contributing to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not fair. I think we should move on once it's, well, for Glaude especially, because he just fucking said, like, my bad.
Right.
I think there's a carceral impulse, even in liberal people, that is very much like punitive.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like to admit it, but it comes out in these ways. Since we're not going to do it in the, like, jail system, we do it in the, like, social setting system.
Correct. Because we feel like we have control there.
Yeah, I found that to be a bit off-putting, because a lot of times the quote-unquote crime isn't death penalty level. It's like, be mad at this dude for a couple years and then, you know, basically go, hey, did you learn your lesson?
Right.
Let's move on. But, you know, some of these people, I feel like they're going to be 80 still tweeting at this man.
Yeah, they will. If Twitter's still around, it's also one of those things, too, when you... If you was to talk to people kind of outside of social media, they'd be reasonable. But when you talk to people, I see things online, I'd be like, well, what are the consequences? You want them to die? You want them to not exist, never work again? Like, where do you draw the line? Or I'm just going to be mad because I have the right to be mad, which you can be. But, you know, it's one of those things where I go, that's not realistic for most people to do it for that long.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I just feel like whoever's on the menu today is going to get it. And that's not as important as the person needing to unload on somebody and getting stuck in that pattern of waking up every day to unload on somebody, which is not the healthiest thing, but it's rewarded on social media.
I think that's the thing. That's the thing that I think is getting my attention, is more that it's about people needing to unload and less about the infraction.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I have a bit of a pushback in me naturally, because I've seen that impulse when it gets fed, and after a while it just needs to eat. It's not really about it's not really about a specific thing that's happening. It's just like we brought up earlier, it's I'm screaming. And in a clip from 2006, and you're like, well, this isn't about some new shit. This is about you needing content and drive and people needing something to rage about.
Correct. Because at the end of the day, like you say, I feel like for not everybody, but for a lot of people, the people that get in them enraged silos, they actually are trying to avoid something. It's something like happening in the quote unquote real world that they can't handle, don't have to be your husband, mate, kids, spouse, job, whatever it is. And online gives you an illusion of control, but you're not actually fixing the problem. But it's easier to attack these quote unquote fictional things that you really can't fix. There's no actually solution to it.
People are scared.
It makes you feel better.
People are scared and feel powerless in this political climate. And so being angry on Twitter makes you feel a type of power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, you know, Eddie Glaude goes on TV and we're still like, yeah, it's been 8 years, but fuck you.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, I think everyone who engages or has had periods where they've engaged a lot has had that moment where they've been like, oh, this is just never ending.
Yes.
I'm going to stop doing this because it's just they're not going
to
see my point. I'm going to keep over explaining it. I'm going to win the argument. There's not going to matter. And so you just stop engaging. You just say, oh, this person they have a different agenda. This not a good faith conversation. And it seems like Eddie Glaude, I mean, especially because he was replying a lot last week. Mm-hmm. If someone mischaracterizes a quote of his from 2016, he'll be like, that's not actually what I said. What I said was this. And it's like, dude, they don't care what you actually said.
Right.
Nope, you know, not, it's not
gonna
about that.
Reel this in.
Yeah. And if you do try to correct them, they're just going to dunk on you more and say, look at this guy trying to tell me what I know, you know.
Right.
And he wants the record to be clear, because if the false thing that he said becomes the dominant thing, no one's going to believe him, you know, in the future. But that ship has sailed, like it's done.
Yeah. And it's like going at an ocean, because yeah. you're one person and you just have this flood of stuff that comes at you from all these different people, from all these different angles. And I think for a lot of people, they feel like they want to fight the fight, but it's like, but you're actually drowning. And no matter what you say or do, you're actually going to drown in this situation. And right. nobody wins, but you actually don't care. And neither do they. So it's like, sometimes you have to be like, I have to opt out of this engagement.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And Mark Lonhill too, he replies.
Right.
He continues to, you can't say that about me. It's like, it's not even about you, really. You know,
right.
They're using you to, as the conduit today, and tomorrow yes. they'll be on to somebody else.
And the question I start to develop is, are they not able to help themselves, or is this partially self-promotion too? Because, he's been on Twitter long enough to know how this goes. So the one way to keep your name in people's mouths is to reply to these normally not really not. They're not always people that demand a reply. Like they're mm-hmm. people that if you don't say anything, most of the time it'll just go away. Right. I've had the occasional person pop in my mentions, even with all my filters and stuff. They'll pop in, and before I reply, I'll go to their account and I'll look at the tweet. The tweet has like 5 views, no right. likes, no right. bookmarks, no replies. The only way that person's going to get a reply is if I respond to whatever it is I feel insulted by mm-hmm. and I just don't respond and just like let your shit slide down the timeline. No one needs to see this.
Yeah, no one's going to remember. Oh, he didn't respond. Remember a year ago when he right. let that person say that about him?
Right.
And didn't do anything. It's not about, it's always like there's a subtext of what this is really about. And to me, the more and more I see it, especially when you go to the For You tab and you see all of the bids for engagement, and a lot of them are very similar to the real conversations people are trying to have where they just dunk on someone. It's like, oh, this is probably a bid for engagement too, on some level, right. subconsciously at least. And just, you can't buy into it. Some people, you know, like even, I don't know what Sean King's up to these days, but at some point, even he stopped replying to people. Mm-hmm. He just gave up. He just said, I'm gonna do what I do. And that's it. And I haven't seen people dunking on him like they used to either. Maybe that's just my feed, but
yeah,
it doesn't give them the thing that they can sink their teeth into. So they move on.
Yeah. What could you possibly prove?
Yeah. We have a comment, actually an email from Stefan, came in earlier today, titled Mugshot Cronies. Look at them ugly grifting ass faces of Trump, Giuliani, Meadows, and others. I'd be here all day naming names in absolute glee. People said this would never happen. Even I'll admit it. I didn't think an ex-president would be fleeced in massive legalities. In the words of Martin Riggs and Roger Murtaugh in Lethal Weapon 4, when those thugs got played for fake money, it's beautiful. Love y'all. Peace. Yeah, yeah, it's a landmark day.
It is, man. I'm not saying he's going to jail, but he's making all the moves of a person that go to jail. I've seen plenty of people go to jail, and I don't know about y'all, but you know, the indictments, the trials, the mugshots, the bond, these are all steps that people take. Like he's taking the same steps as Gunna right. and them took on their way to jail.
Right. And they're going to televise the one in Georgia at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to be sitting there, you know, those pictures of him next to his lawyers, you know.
Oh, that's right. Because none of the other ones been televised. Like all the rest of them, we had to wait for NPR and all them other people, New York Times, that kind of tell you eyewitnesses from what happened in the courtroom where you're getting like sketches. So they're going to actually have the cameras in there.
And even like mugshots, like in DC, if he was to get his mugshot taken in DC, DC doesn't release mugshots. So some places do, some places don't. So you would never see it. I don't know if he had to get a mugshot in New York, but he's got a case there too. So this is the one where it's like the most public facing one. And, you know, everybody can see everything that's going on. So it's mm-hmm. going to get extra focus. But yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming.
That might be why she was like, well, let's do the chaos, because our laws are different down here and shit going to be out in public.
Right. You fucked around. Now you're finding out.
Right.
We got a comment. This is the last one from Abbasi. Commented on YouTube. I'm fucking with the frequency of the uploads. I also fuck with you guys really taking it to the next level as well. You and words might actually, he always tries to get me to say it, might actually have to have structure, LOL. and tell Unk to stop rushing it when everyone else be having fun riffing on a topic or a video. Abbasi always tells Randolph he's always rushes us out of our jokes, but that's Abbasi on YouTube. If you guys want to comment, we will see the ones on YouTube, but the best place to comment is probably Patreon. Yeah, and Kirby Jones said in the chat, he's got to raise a daughter. Randolph's trying to raise a daughter. Trying to raise a daughter out here. He doesn't have time for our silliness, our dick jokes. She could be walking by. That's the other thing. She's in the room sometimes.
Walking and winding around.
Yeah, what's going on in here? Don't worry about it. So the one thing I wanted to talk about with this guy, Oliver Anthony, right wing, but not right wing folk hero. We broke down his song last week, The Rich Men North of Richmond. Have you guys listened to that song?
No, I haven't heard it. I've only seen this on the periphery of Twitter. I haven't investigated it at all.
Yeah, so he wrote, it's like a folk song about the rich politicians doing this and that, which is whatever. There's a couple lines in there, though, about people getting fat on welfare, eating fudge rounds. And it's like, wait a minute. Specifically, fudge rounds. So the right basically embraced this guy as like their new hero. He sings with like this kind of Southern accent, you know, old school folk singer thing. The first question of the debate the other night was about this song. It was about
what?
Rich Men North of Richmond. So he had, yeah, I'm not going to play it again, Lakita. We don't have to hear the song again, but I do listen to it a lot on my own. So he came out and did an interview where he's like, yeah, I'm not that guy. Mm. I'm not this right wing, you know, whatever.
I'm disappointed to see, like, it's aggravating seeing people on conservative news try to identify with me like I'm one of them. It's aggravating seeing certain musicians and politicians act like we're buddies and act like we're fighting the same struggle here, like that we're trying to present the same message. You know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me, and I've tried to be polite to everybody, and I've talked to hundreds of people the last 2 weeks. But it seems like certain people want to just ride the attention of this song to maybe make them their own selves relevant, and that's aggravating as hell. The other thing that I find aggravating is, you know, like, it was funny seeing my song in the... It was funny seeing it at the presidential debate. Because it's like, I wrote that song about those people, you know? So for them to have to sit there and listen to that, that cracks me up. but it was funny kind of seeing the response to it. Like, that song has nothing to do with Joe Biden, you know? It's a lot bigger than Joe Biden. That song is written about the people on that stage, and a lot more too, not just them, but definitely them.
Then he tweeted, he has a tweet about it where he says, I don't support either side politically, both sides, not the left, not the right. I'm about supporting people and restoring local communities. Now go breathe some fresh air and relax, please. I'm not worth obsessing over. I promise. Go spend time with your loved ones. Also, he joined Twitter in August of this year, and he has 428,000 followers. He's only following two people. One of them's Elon Musk. So it's all very suspicious to me anyway. Mm. But it's funny that they were using him as an avatar for right-wing grievance culture.
That's such a white response. I don't support either side, politically, yeah. Not left, right. Like that center shit, a side has got to be picked, buddy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that his song apparently had the lyrics and the feel of a Republican song.
Right.
And he chose to like disassociate himself from that. But he understands, I think, in the culture of country music, you go too far to that left and now you're the Dixie Chicks.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because there's so many grifters on the right who've got to be pissed at this guy because right. It landed in his lap. You know, like mm-hmm. The Hodge twins, CJ Pearson, they've been trying to make millions off of right wing grifting.
For years.
And this guy had it in his hand if he wanted it. He could have leaned into this. He could have sold merch. He could have been the guy.
Yes.
And he actually said, actually, I'm not that guy. I'm just my own independent. Now, I don't know what his politics really are. It's kind of.
Yep. It's kind that's of, why he left it vague, like that on purpose.
Yeah. He brought up. I mean, he low key brought up like Epstein, but because of the right wing information silo they have over there, they have turned into like Democrats are pedophiles. So like right. This lyric he has, I wish politicians would look out for minors and not just minors on an island somewhere. To me, that's an Epstein bar, but they've just decided the new truth is Epstein and Epstein was just a Democrat and the Democrats all fuck children.
Right. Right. Exactly. In fact, that's the annotation on Genius. He's wishing the politicians would care for coal miners instead of only being interested in minors under the age of 18 on Jeffrey Epstein's island. So he's kind of like playing like it. Wish you stop only focusing on pedophiles, but coal miners need your focus. That's an unfocused line, I guess, ironically enough. And then this weird thing about getting obese on welfare and your 300 pounds. Taxes paying for your fudge rounds.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not like I don't trust him still, even though
he's not a hero. I mean, these are Republican talking points, conservative talking points. Right. And these are still like kind of conservative values and things he thinks about. He just because he doesn't want to be affiliated with them fucking losers on that Republican dais doesn't mean he's like a liberal hero. I'm just looking at these lyrics. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, talking about men dying by suicide at higher rates. Because all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Yes, that's the problem. The country is kicking the men down. This dude's not a hero.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I even mentioned when we pulled it up last week that he has this whole thing about people working overtime for bullshit pay. It's like, well, are you for raising the minimum wage then?
Right.
Because that's the solution to your problem right
they're
there.
Not.
We've got the solution. So, and the videos of him that have come out, it's like him in front of some state fair in front of a group of white people who are just clapping along to everything he's singing. Yeah. And, you know, he's some kind of, I don't know if it's a plant or just some weird cult of personality that formed around him. Folk singers typically are a little bit left, although country singers are a little bit right, and he's a little more folk/country. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he has any clear beliefs other than, you know, government's cause of all our problems. And, you know, it's like these people on Twitter, like that's the problem, and just make songs about the faceless rich men north of Richmond. His Twitter account, he has 14 tweets. He has 428,000 followers.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. His latest tweet, people's crying about burning coal, but not the poor souls who's digging it. I guess he's doing his lyrics on Twitter. I reckon there's been many a good man in the grave trying to keep our houses lit down in the oil fields, the pipelines, the linemen, the coal mines, so we can sit at home and plug in newfangled bullshit. Now, which party is for workers' rights?
Right.
Right.
Such bullshit. I hate this shit. Because it's that false objectivity. Like, if you have a problem with these things, then you know what party is addressing them and you know which isn't. But, you know, it's a rejection of the culture if he were to come out and say, I'm a Democrat or I vote Democrat or I lean left or anything like that, because country music is still white people culture, conservative white people, and he don't want to lose that bag. So, and to a certain extent, I'm more shocked that he even had something to say about the Republicans.
Right. Most of them just let that shit came out, but like,
yeah, okay. Look at that dude, Aldean. Like, he's been now running around at every concert giving a Kanye speech halfway through the concert to be like, they're trying to stop my First Amendment rights and we're not gonna let that happen.
Yeah, the crowd cheers.
Yeah. A man was a man when I was a kid, and a woman was a woman. Now let's get back to the song, Maria, Maria.
Shout out to Dave Chappelle real quick.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out to Dave Chappelle.
The martyr Dave Chappelle.
Right. Me and Dave Chappelle like this, son. Yeah, he's not a hero.
Yeah, no, he's not a hero at all. And I think if he makes any kind of turn toward one party over the other, it's going to be to the right.
Oh, yeah, and
of course.
People on the left don't want him anyway. The right is ready to embrace him.
And it's always the like, you can run to the right and be like, my feelings were hurt.
Right.
Yep. And the party of fuck your feelings will embrace you full-fledged. Like, oh, yes, H. Steel, come on over here, baby. That's right. The blacks are mean. Come on.
They've been waiting on her.
They were mean to you.
All I said was I'm sick of the victim mentality. Then they start seeing mean things to me. And now I'm the victim.
And Barbara Walters pushed me. What?
Barbara right. Walters speared me into a trash can. Like an office linebacker.
Right. She never did anyone else.
Already 85 years old. What are you talking about?
This guy on Twitter responded to the Oliver Anthony video about he's sitting in his truck saying he's not part of any party. Says he didn't write that song for specifically the debate. If the Dems used it, he would have said the same. You can read his background on politics. Rich men north of Richmond is D.C. And then Oliver Anthony replies, this guy gets it. But the Dems didn't use it and they would not use it. It's all if. It's all what if they did it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't. So. You know, whatever. He's learning, I guess, who his fans are.
Yeah. Well, I just know trying to please everybody, you're not gonna please anyone.
Nope, everybody's gonna be upset.
I'm just here for the common man working. The working common man.
Yeah, check out my song lyrics. Clearly they on the side of just the working common man. Right. You fat black welfare motherfuckers, don't get my tax dollars.
Getting fat on fudge rounds. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I eat meat off bones. That's what I do.
What about the men? They killing themselves because y'all so mean. You know, everyone agrees with these unifying points of view.
These coal miners are getting shit on by the faceless men in Washington, D.C.
People that want to stop coal mining. Then you know that that's a unifying thing that both parties do.
People want to stop us dying in coal mines because they don't respect us as coal miners. That's what it is.
Oh, man. I bet he's from like upper crest society.
Yeah, I haven't looked at his background. He's from Farmville, Virginia, which sounds like the smallest town ever.
Ooh, in the middle of nowhere.
But that's also where Lady of Rage, the rapper, is from. She shouted out straight out of Farmville. There's a college there, Longwood College, I think. I don't know what else is there, but it's a smallish place.
Next door.
So I'm looking at the population, 7,473 people. That's a small town.
That's a small town.
Yeah, that's small.
But he didn't try that there.
He didn't try it there.
No, he did not.
He went to a bigger country outlet.
Oh, you know what? They have a lot of coal mining in and around Farmville.
Mm.
So there's a coal culture there.
I wonder if he's ever rolled coal.
Yeah, I bet he's rolled some coal.
You know he has.
I had to explain to my wife what rolling coal was because she didn't know. Because she drives a Tesla. And she, even this weekend, she goes to visit her mother sometimes in like southwestern Virginia. And I'm like, have you had any coal rolled on you? And she's like, what's that? I had to pull up videos of rolling coal. And so she so far has not noticed any coal being rolled, but she's in an area that would be ripe for coal rolling.
Yes, that sounds like a place where that would be their jam.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't look like the type of person you need to roll coal on.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't fit the description.
Mm-mm.
So I taught her how to save footage. The Tesla has cameras all around it and you can save footage of things that happen on the road. So I was like, if anyone rolls coal, I want that video.
Yes, so, we got to see the footage.
We got to see the coal rolling. And then there's this video, I teased it earlier, Marjorie Taylor Greene post-debate. I didn't watch the debate. We were actually recording at that point.
Taboo. Anybody got time? Not about to care about what the wacko was saying.
Chris Christie's, you know, trying to be the, I guess, voice of reason. shitting all over people. He's shitting all over Trump.
Yeah, they said for some reason he went hard at Ramaswamy.
Yeah,
which is interesting because I didn't think Ramaswamy was the leader. Like, you feel like he'd be going at DeSantis if he was going to somebody hard.
Yeah, I was listening to, I'm going to say The Daily, and they were saying they've been looking at the polls, and they basically were saying he's been climbing up. I think he's like right behind or right where DeSantis is. Mm. And they would say people were attacking him because it was kind of almost like a Trump feeling, like Trump wasn't there. And they were saying how he stuck really, really hard to Trump talking points.
Okay.
So a lot of them kind of started attacking him because he's basically a quote unquote nobody, doesn't have a background. So I thought it was strange too. I was like, that don't make sense. And then they was talking about basically
that makes sense.
They treated him as a Trump stand-in.
Thank you.
And he knows how to get attention too. He knows how to say outrageous things and take over the conversation. They put him in the middle on the debate stage. That's usually the one who gets the most airtime. And then this is post-debate analysis from Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Something else. I was pretty disgusted at Chris Christie and his racist comment towards Vivek Ramaswamy, where he was like the only skinny guy. What did he say? He was comparing him to
comparing
Obama.
Obama.
Yeah. I honestly thought that was pretty racist.
I would have just turned, if I was Vivek, I would have turned to Chris Christie and said, I knew you would have gotten triggered by the skinny comment. I would have just, put it out there.
So I'm not sure what part was racist.
Not the play-by-play.
So saying comparing him to Obama was racist because it's racist against Indian people or against Black people?
I think calling anyone that, I think they let us know without telling us that what they call people when they want to insult people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're like, you're acting like a real Obama right now.
Yep. Basically, you calling out somebody brown. I understand racism, quote unquote, this way, but not when it's towards me, though.
Well, maybe it's because he fucking plagiarized Obama's introduction.
He did.
Right. with that. That's what Chris Christie was really saying.
Yeah. Who is the skinny kid? That's exactly what Obama said. And you know, Melania plagiarized Michelle Obama. Yeah.
When are y'all going to admit that y'all were being racist to Barack Obama?
Never.
Right.
Oh. That racism only go one way, sir.
Interesting.
I thought comparing him to a Black man was pretty racist against him.
No one deserves that.
Right. Nobody.
Nobody deserves to be the victim of racism except Obama, of course.
When are we going to have some? I thought we were a nation of laws and rules.
I thought this was America. I thought this was the U.S. of A.
We just calling people Obamas now?
Are we not a nation of laws and men? What is happening?
No decorum on that stage. We're just calling people Obamas out in the open. Chris Christie is disgusting.
Out in the open.
Meanwhile, let's make a fat joke. Right?
Right, exactly. I mean, they're so ridiculous.
Something else. I was pretty disgusted at Chris Christie and his racist comment towards Vivek Ramaswamy, where he was like the only skinny guy. What did he say? He was comparing him to
comparing
Obama.
Obama.
Yeah. I honestly thought that was pretty racist.
Why? Where's the follow-up question?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And also, he's fat.
Right. She also said Vivek, not Vivek. Like, she got his name wrong.
That makes sense, because I was like, wait a minute, did she say it right now?
Well, she's got to keep her you know, constituents happy. Right. You start saying people's name right, they're gonna start looking at you funny.
You're
gonna call her Kamala Harris? Come on.
I mean you're acting like you care.
Listen, Kamala Harris. You gonna call him Obama or Kamala Harris? I don't care, but it's both bad.
Kamala Harris. I mean, that's a pretty racist name.
I was talking to Benedict Cumberbatch last night, and I said, this is a hard name to say. This is Kamala Harris.
Making me try to say it right is racist against me.
And only me.
That's not the type of name white people can say. I thought that was pretty racist to make me pronounce her name right.
What happened to American names?
Simplify your names.
Right. What happened to American names like Nikki Haley?
Yeah. Huh?
That was a good old white folk names. I thought that was pretty racist to give him a non-American name. Yeah, they're just flailing. They don't even know what racism is anymore.
No. Yeah,
they just needed Trump at that debate because it's worse without him for them. They need someone sucking up all the oxygen so that we don't pay attention to what the fuck they talking about.
Agreed. And Trump actually, when this was airing, Trump actually went and the dude that got fired from
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, went on there and aired at the same time. And he basically interviewed him. He was like, it wouldn't benefit me to go on. And they were saying like people have been begging him for months to come on when they first got this. And they were sending people. And Trump was like, I'm not doing that bullshit. And he got his own problems. He don't want y'all talking about him going to jail and shit.
Yeah, he'd be afraid of Chris Christie bringing all that shit up, probably. But if someone has a big time breakout performance and gains ground because of their debate performance, Trump will show up to the next one and stand in the middle. He'll say, I'm only coming if you let me stand in the middle and give me the most airtime. And he'll just come up with nicknames for everybody like he does. Big
bully fest.
Yeah. So as soon as he feels threatened by them, which maybe he never will.
Right.
Yeah. He'll show up.
I don't think he will.
But he doesn't need to at this point. They need him more than he needs them.
Agreed. That's the only reason why he opted not to go.
Yeah. I don't know how many. I think they're only doing a handful, like 3 or 4 debates total. I don't know if there are that many before the primaries start.
They could basically skip them all at this point because I just think that they're not serious. And also, we're so polarized. I don't think debate performances change anything anymore. Even when it's the open debate, you know, I like him as a political nerd,
right?
But I haven't left a debate thinking, wow, this will really change the country's views on the candidate since I think Obama with Hillary Clinton and John Edwards was the first, like, oh, well, this is different. I think he may have made a bigger impact for himself, but everybody else, I feel like we already know.
Agreed.
Yeah, and even like in 2012 when Obama, the consensus was that Romney beat him in the first debate, it didn't change the polling at all.
Nope.
It was surprising because Obama was great at debating.
Right.
And he was the incumbent and everything, but no one cared. And even in 2012, things were already pretty much set in stone who was going to vote what way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I really think the last one was 2008 or 2000, I guess 2007 it would have been, but I really think that was the last time because everyone didn't. That's the other thing. People didn't really know Barack Obama.
Right.
And of the three candidates on that stage at the time, you knew John Edwards, you knew Hillary Clinton. I think it was Hillary. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Hillary. Okay.
Yeah. No way. Yeah.
Yeah. So he leapfrogged, but yeah, it was very much like this debate made a difference a bit. Because it's just more of a get to know you thing, not even a who won, just this guy is eloquent and all this other shit.
And I guess on the Republican side, in the primary debates in 2016, Trump probably gained some supporters because the more boorish he got, the more support he got. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I think the difference with Trump was less about getting to know him as a candidate and a person because, you know, he was already famous.
Yeah.
It was, we got to know that there was no floor for the Republican voter. That, like, with Obama, we discovered a person. With Trump, we discovered, like,
a monster.
Oh, shit. These motherfuckers don't care that he's a monster. Matter of fact, he's moving up because he's a monster.
Right.
Yeah. And even the other people on that debate stage were like, wait a minute, this is working? Like, even they were kind of, couldn't believe the Lindsey Graham of the world. Yeah, they're like, well, I didn't know you could say that out loud. I mean, this is what about decorum and all the things that we claim that we believe in?
Right. And they don't believe it. And a lot of them fussed and complained and talk shit about him. But the second he won, they basically folded and kissed the ring because actually, at the end of the day, they're like, our agenda of all these isms is more important.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And his followers were like, yeah, we like that too, but we like the guy who was an obvious open bigot as well. We want the hate too. We don't want to be shielded from that.
I still remember when they thought that was taboo and thought that like there would be repercussions and consequences coming for Trump, so they were pretending to be against it.
Right.
That was so funny at the beginning. It was just like, you know, this guy right here, he's just, I mean, some of the things he's saying, and then of course he's killing it in the polls. They're like, some of the things he's saying are brilliant, and I agree.
Or the Access Hollywood tape where they were like, I have daughters.
Yeah.
And I can't believe he needs to drop out of the race right now. And then they went and voted for him a month later. They cast their vote for him.
And I told my daughters to do it too.
Yeah, dude, they did not care. And it's also one of the things with Trump when he was running and stuff. They are like, whatever it takes to get our agendas, we actually don't care. So basically, he told the truth about your party, and he basically called y'all out for the liars that y'all were, because you do believe all the shit he says. You might not come out and say Mexicans are rapists or grabbed by the pussy, but your agenda and how you feel is still the same.
Right. Yeah. And it turns out saying it out loud does not hurt you politically.
Mm-mm. That's why you got DeSantis mimicking him. He laid the blueprint. A lot of the shit that we have now, the clown car of people we have now, is because everybody feels like if Trump can win, anybody can win.
Yep. DeSantis going after the woke. The woke honey, people. And
Mickey gonna make him pay, because he was like, oh, well, Mickey was like, no, bitch, I want my cheese. You fuck with me. I was minding my business. You came over here fucking with us. So no, we're not dropping this lawsuit.
Let's put that behind us.
They win. Fuck him.
So before we get out of here, let's take a look at this. There's a couple possible stories. There's the Mullet Championship.
Oh, snap.
they crowned a new winner this year. Lizzo says she's going to, well, it, I don't know if she said it, but someone said she's going to sue her backup dancers. The ones who filed suit against her. And there's a couple other ones. A stingray impaled a woman on a beach in Florida, which is not that funny, but there are pictures of it. I'm going to pull up the mullet story.
All right. Oh, snap.
Dealer's choice.
Pennsylvania 6-year-old.
Party in the back. Let's go.
Crowned 2023 Kids Mullet Champion. And I think there's video of it.
These kids know nothing about mullets. You're six.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole mullet festival in Pennsylvania.
Holy shit.
It's really more of a parental award at this age.
Right.
Right.
Give it up for all these beautiful mullets, ladies and gentlemen. The annual Pete's Legend Barbershop Mullet Contest at CUNA Days.
Oh, they is not playing.
They're making these kids dance.
So now all the stops.
It wasn't even that good of a mullet. How many jokes did the judges tell about having to mullet over before
giving? Oh, you know they tons of them.
I'm gonna have to mull this one over. I mean, mullet over. They get it wrong half the time.
Yeah. Damn it. That's all right. We'll make the joke again with the next contest.
And you know, you only have to guess the race on this one.
No, I don't see
any black kids.
Yeah, we could do mullets too, but you know.
This kid,
mullets don't count.
That's not really a mullet. This kid is cheating.
That's not a mullet at all.
A couple of them don't have mullets.
Yeah, they don't have a real.
Got a mullet.
Yeah, yes. This guy probably has a mullet. He's got a hat on, but
I wonder if anyone ever like does cheating, like performance enhancing. You know, like can you buy a hat that got a mullet wig on the back?
Oh, can you wear wig? Oh, can you do sew-ins?
Yeah, has anyone ever got caught with weave?
And do the judges like inspect your scalp before they choose a winner?
I'm sorry, everybody. We got a disqualification in the 12 and under bracket.
Little skater.
We found somebody with performance enhancing. They were on PWs.
We got a clip in. We got a sew in here.
You got a mullet enhancement going on. We're gonna have to confer with the judges, guys. We're going to have to think about this one. Now this kid does have the stars and bars on his clothes, which we
right.
Like,
so we did give him points for that, but
give points for that.
Had to take off some for the mullet enhancement.
Yeah, the mullet looks to be two shades. It's not supposed to be two different.
It doesn't blend well. I wonder what are the categories? Do they do men, women, children? Do they like?
Yeah, they only ever talk about the kids champion, but you know, there's some 45-year-old. This is what he lives for. You know, right. Every year at the mullet championship.
Jam.
Oh, this kid's got a super mullet.
Yes, mm-hmm. I actually like that mullet.
He should win.
He's got a faux hawk and a mullet. he must be the winner. The way they show, no one was even close to that kid.
Long hair, don't care.
I think Rory Ehrlich. Also, they have mullet names, by the way. His name is Cheddar Whiz.
Oh, okay. Shit, not Cheddar Whiz.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes
not
by
Cheese Whiz. He's Cheddar Whiz.
Cheddar
they
Whiz.
They had 300 kids.
They had 300 mullets. I think we had this last year too. It's a big deal, whatever town this is in Pennsylvania. And then the kid's father, here, there's an interview with the kid's father, I think.
Like, y'all,
all our
traveling
dreams have come true.
Y'all travel for this?
Of course they did. They getting ready for the mullet championship, child. They have a lot of bobbers that was going to town on these mullets.
They're checking into the Doubletree. Like, we're part of the Mullet Fest. Do we get the discount for that?
You know they did.
Is that mullet rate? Whiz? You don't got to pay for anything, man.
Cheddar.
Yeah,
why didn't you say so earlier?
That's my son over there, Cheddar Whiz. Is there a mullet rate at this hotel? Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, no, your room's free.
6-year-old is officially a national champion. Early this morning, Rory Ehrlich was named the 2023 Kids Mullet Champion. Alicia, we had a chance to visit Rory on his family farm in Pottstown, where excitement is obviously high, right?
Rory, he did it. Oh, my gosh, so excited. The rising first grader went by the name Cheddar Whiz in the 2023 USA Mullet Championship. And now Cheddar Whiz clinches our city's first national championship of the season.
Rory, what happened when you found out that you won?
I was knocking down some chairs and hugged my whole family.
What?
Knocking down some tears.
He is six, so I understand that. The baby's six. That's 6-year-old knockdown chairs.
Did he say knock down some chairs?
Some chairs. I'm assuming chairs.
Rory, what happened when you found out that you won?
I was knocking down some chairs and hugged my whole family. And I also screamed.
And how much money did you win?
Oh, he's got extra. He's got like some texture going on. Look at that.
Get into this length.
Shit, supercuts went crazy on that one.
You win.
$5,000.
That's a lot.
What are you going to do?
A mullet.
He's just going to go by Cheddar from now on.
Buy my sister an alpaca.
And what else?
And go to Wing Night.
Are you going to get just...
Wait a minute. He's going to buy his...
Not Wing Night.
These are some incongruent gifts. We need to talk to this boy.
He's going to
buy my sister an alpaca.
Your sister just finessed you, boy. That's like $4,500 of those dollars are going to her now.
For that alpaca.
For that alpaca. And all you got was a Wing Night, bro?
I just Googled it. The cost of most alpacas is between $3,000 and $10,000 per alpaca. He's going to give his sister... a $3,000 plus gift because he has a mullet.
Yeah, that don't make sense, bro. Mm-hmm. She didn't grow that. Was she what you shooting at the gym?
Come on, was she growing that mullet out?
Unless she was like doing the maintenance and care on that mullet, I'm gonna need you to back off of that gift.
There's no girls in the competition. Are no girls allowed in the mullet competition?
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You or is it because the girls already have long hair? It would be cheating because they could just shave off the sides.
Your mama the one that allowed you to look a fool. You should be buying her a gift. Right. She the one that had to be embarrassed every time she take you to the store.
I'm going to buy my mama an alpaca and go to Wing Night.
And go to Wing Night.
Go to Wing Night.
Where I can't order no beers.
Right, no beers. Can't drink no alcohol.
They go to Wing Night, and I'm going to have some mild wings. I'm going to knock down all the chairs. Tell you that much. That's my thing.
Alpaca.
And what else?
And go to Wing Night.
Are you going to get just one alpaca?
This is the sister now being interviewed about her gift that she didn't win.
One alpaca? News did.
No, I'm getting three. One for my parents, because one for my parents, one for my brother, and one for me. Because
wait, she said I'm getting three. That's not your money.
I know the real brains behind this operation when I see him. His little sister, that's the head scammer in charge. He just a pawn in her plan.
Right. Apparently, younger alpacas you can get for $1,000 to $1,500. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get three young alpacas, I guess.
And he's going to get wings.
He's going to get a five-piece.
And my biggest thing, you're going to have a wing night you can't drink. Get out of here, sir.
Right. He's going to get like five sad little wings, a couple celery sticks.
Little buddy got played by his family. That's sad.
Maybe some carrots, Andy, and that's gonna be.
I'm gonna get 3 alpacas, a PS5, a new bed, and we're gonna take on the Buffalo Wild Wings, get them a 6-piece.
They're gonna be honey mustard.
Yeah.
All the ranch he can dip it in.
All the ranch.
Lemon pepper wings. He's kidding. They're gonna call him lemon pepper cheddar next year.
Yeah, he's gonna get a whole wing named after him.
He's gonna just become like a estranged from his family after this. He's gonna grow up and realize, wait a minute, I'm the one who's winning all his mullet competitions.
The documentary about him is gonna be sad as hell.
It is
when they do Untold, the story of Cheddar Whiz.
Cheddar Whiz biscuits.
I started drinking every day. They called me Cheddar Whiskey after a while. That was my name. I started drinking. You know, sometimes when my family was asleep, I would go over and kick the alpacas.
All I got, that's when I started popping pills, and all I had was my wings, you know.
You're going to be like, I won the mother competition, and all I got was these wings. Mm-hmm.
One of his enemies shows up in the middle of the night, cuts off his hair.
Fuck it up. Well, I have a question. Does he go to regional or state now?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this the international? Yeah. I don't know. Is there another level after this? Is he going to maybe win enough money?
I'm assuming
so. This guy, I mean, America has to be the home of the mullet championship. I assume we're watching the Super Bowl of mullets here. I don't think there's a place to go after this.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you don't go up.
Yeah. Where else would you go? This is here. This is the peak.
Yeah, $5,000 is the most anyone has ever made.
Yeah, it's for having a mullet. There's not more than $5,000 to give people for having a mullet.
An alpaca can't just be one. It has to have a herd of three.
Look, they run a farm. They've done the research. Rory's 13-inch long mullet sent him to the win with 16,000 votes. He says he is keeping this mullet at least until he's 8.
What?
What do you plan to do with your hair when you eventually cut it?
Give it to kids with cancer for wigs.
I love it. Rory also raised over $6,000 for wounded warriors. What? He recently also earned celebrity status at a Phillies game where he got to meet his hero, his mullet hero, John Kruk. Now, Kruk said he would join him for wing night if he won. So, Kruk, if you're watching, it is on. We have a champ.
We knew this kid was going places.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's no way John Kruk is this kid's hero.
Yeah, how's that possible? John Kruk is like,
that's his daddy's hero. What are we talking about?
Right. He's 6. He's never seen John Kruk do anything.
No, everyone is getting things out of this except the kid. Like, the kid's hero is clearly someone else. Maybe it's Oliver Anthony, the folk singer, but it's clearly not John Kruk, who retired 20 years ago.
Right. My favorite player, John Kruk.
Okay, sir.
Sure, buddy.
I love watching old clips of John Kruk.
This could be you, y'all.
The USA Mullet Championship. They got teens and kids.
Where's the black kid section?
That don't exist.
I don't think there's any category for black kids.
There's not an African American mullet competition.
You know you ain't shit if you ain't have a black kid section. Even after George Floyd, y'all were like, nah, there's no need.
I'd like to sign up. My name's CJ Pearson.
Yeah.
Can I just add that
Alfonso Riviera haircut with the Jerry curl from back in the day. Look like a mullet.
Right. The shag kind of thing.
Yeah, they had black people had shag contest.
The international shag off or whatever.
Shag off. I'm gonna also go to wing night. They paid me in wings though. I felt like that was inappropriate.
Yes.
The official beer sponsor.
Called Florida Man?
The official beer sponsor is Florida Man beer. I think they have a sense of humor about this.
Florida Man. You might not be able to put him in a box, but we sure as hell got him into a can. And then we put those cans into a box. Surprisingly refreshing and super drinkable. You're welcome, world.
That's funny.
All right. So Florida Man beer, official sponsor. And they have mullet merch. You can get mullet champ t-shirts. I guess you can get Cheddar Whiz on a shirt. I would think so.
I was now champion 2023.
Yeah, he's this year's champ. The official snack food is Fritos. All this is very much on brand.
They got the Manscaped over here.
That Manscaped. They got a sunglass and Members Only is the official jacket sponsor.
Come on, throw Members Only.
I mean,
they have not left the 80s at all.
No. Mullet Mama t-shirt. So I guess the women are just in the stands cheering. They're not right. They're not actually competing.
Okay, they don't participate.
Yeah, they got a whole, I guess if anyone wants an ironic t-shirt to wear, mulletchamp.com has what you need.
Yeah.
Meet all your mullet needs.
You got the mullet hoodie. Yeah. Yeah, I could see some people wearing these, ironically.
Yeah, me too.
So yes. Mullet, I guess, top 25 kids, they have the whole list. Some of these are, I mean, this one looks pretty, pretty crazy. They call him the Thunderdome. They all have nicknames.
Oh, they do.
I think Brock Higgins, B Rock and Rolls is my fave so far.
Brock Higgins.
Yeah.
This kid's name is Dre Bell. His nickname is the Electric Slide and he's white.
Oh boy.
That's hilarious.
Ginger Mane. This guy, Eli Fowl.
Ginger Mane. That's good.
Ginger Mane Jackson. That's what you got to do.
Because he has show parents that are very abusive.
Right. Get out there and do whatever you do on the mullet. Dance around.
Grow that fucking mullet, boy.
And their hair growing. They were like, this is going to be your mullet.
Go up to your room and grow your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the Kenny Powers. They're all Kenny Powers on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, his last name is Hare. Emmett Hare.
All shit they're not supposed to be able to watch. Thunderdome.
Yeah. Mufasa?
Well, you can watch Mufasa. That's fine. The Kenny Powers, can't watch that.
Their parents named
somebody. Baby Joe Dirt, you can't watch that.
Can't watch that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of kids getting exposed here.
A lot of parents getting exposed.
Lewis Schofier's nickname is just the mullet.
That's flex. Matt that's like Mason. Joel Embiid. That's like Joel Embiid calling himself the process.
Right, exactly. Or Ben Simmons is the airball.
Yeah.
Mason Padilla is called the chick magnet. Now Padilla could be a non-white name, possibly.
That's what that sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
The Onado, Owen Escoto.
The Onado, maybe like Tornado or something.
Yeah. These two don't
Tucker
even have
Jones. That's you didn't even try.
Tucker Jones.
Hot Rod. Oh.
Yeah, when he was signing in, they were like, what's your nickname? He was like, we had to have nicknames.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had to have nicknames.
Vance Pelkey, also just his name. That's just his name. That's just the name that kid has. That doesn't count.
No, that I don't know. I don't.
Maybe he was the first winner ever. And then the next year, he was like, wait, we can do nicknames?
Yeah. That was like those wrestlers in the 80s who would be wrestling the famous guy and you never heard of him. So you knew they were going to lose. That's Tucker Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rory Ehrlich has a decent mullet, the Cheddar Whiz, but I don't know. I mean, he must have done well in the other categories because some of these guys have more impressive mullets.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Calvin Johnson, son of a soldier. That's his nickname. Okay, he was trying to pull some heartstrings on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's like singing gospel at the Apollo. They, right. They can't get you off. They can't boo you off stage.
You can't boo,
they don't boo Jesus.
Like they're raising money for wounded warriors and you son of a soldier.
Right. Oh, they got.
Oh, they do glamour shots. Their parents spent money. They got a professional photo shoot.
They got he's got boots on.
He's got a curly mullet too. Yeah.
Somebody was like, we can't go to glamour shots now. Come on now. We just gonna have to pay the photographer. But they want $100 an hour. You know, I'm serious about the mullet. Come on now. This is what the boy wants. The boots on is six.
Do you want an alpaca or not?
That's how that conversation went.
Courtney put it in the chat. There is a female mullet.
Fee mullet. The fee mullet conversation.
That's what That's how you got to talk to these fee mullets.
Right. It's fucking fee mullets. Did they have podcasts there in the mullet community where they talk bad about fee mullets?
I bet you they do.
I was on a date with this fee mullet.
The mullet sphere.
The mullet sphere.
That's how you got to treat these fee mullets. They come at you thinking they got the best mullet in town. That's, you got to tell them. You got to put them in their place.
I tell them right away, hey, you ain't the best fee mullet I dated, okay?
Not even
tell you
off.
Right now.
You couldn't even beat Cheddar Whiz, and he's six.
Right.
Yeah, they're all adults. They don't have, I guess, there are no, maybe not so far on this website, no kids.
Do they have a non-binary section?
Now, you know, what kind of question is that, sir?
You don't think that aligns with the principles at the mullet competition?
Mm-mm. Sponsored by Florida Person Beer.
Yeah.
They should, but I doubt they do.
Caitlin Baldwin is Achy Breaky Talladega is her nickname.
Mm.
Oh, Tanaka's nickname is the alpaca. Wait a second.
Wait a minute. It's conspiracy going on.
Got your firsty.
She got the curly mullet too.
Yeah.
She might got some. She might shake her family tree and some black
brown,
might
some fall brown out. People fall out of that tree.
Right. Yeah, she's got the shaved sides. Mm-hmm. She's okay. Permed alpaca mullet, a whimsical celebration of alpacas and Japanese aesthetics.
Oh, she's Japanese. Okay.
Intertwining the soft fleece allure with permed mullet elegance and personal expression.
Okay.
Somebody said them day mullets. That sounds about right.
I don't know. Some of these people are a lot older too. Karen O'Brien is like a silver fox.
I guess they're doing ages, or they just like DD.
They look like they'll show up at a WNBA game and take your girl.
What? And be looking at you like, don't fuck up. Don't fuck. If you fuck up, your girl is gone.
Yeah, I think they
must. That's how they were looking at me when me and Roger went to the Stain game. They were looking at him like, you got it? Because if you don't, sir. I was like, what's happening?
I don't know how they break down the rounds. It doesn't seem to be by age, because they've got like people of all ages. This is an insanely long mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy Manis.
And I guess they're going by who got closed out and who went up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because every round they pick a winner, I think.
I'm assuming so.
That's a pretty crazy mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lady, the femme mullets are, they've got some impressive ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not dating no femme mullet if she got kids and she ain't, you know, she ain't got a job. That's a low value mullet.
And then the kids got mullets.
Right.
I'm not dating no femme mullet who washes her hair in alkaline water.
I can't date a woman with a femme mullet who's had more than three barbers in her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have all these women, just promiscuous women getting haircuts from all kinds of other people.
Right.
Yeah, it looked like they had different rounds
too. Yeah, Blair Sugarman came in first.
Hmm.
Holly Howard. Oh, they have a judge's score as well.
Okay.
So
they had to mull it over.
They did have to mull it over. Blair Sugarman's nickname is the Trapper Keeper.
Okay.
That's cute.
I don't really know. Her mullet doesn't seem that crazy to me. Oh, she's a goalkeeper. She plays hockey.
Oh, because she's a goalkeeper. I don't know where the trapper's coming from, but.
Yeah.
I say you're stuck in the 80s. You know, the thing is called the Trapper Keeper.
I know, but I know where the keeper is, her being a goalkeeper.
Mm.
So I didn't know if there was like something more to Trapper. Like, is she a hunter? Does she trap things?
Ah, she trapping the men mullets.
Yeah.
This hairstyle has trapped me
too,
again.
So.
The hairstyle has trapped her. Is that what it's coming about? Just like my fully supportive love of my life, husband of 11 years, Lance Sugarman. Sounds like a porn star.
Right.
Like a true OG. I sported the mullet back in 1990.
Is he rapping his videos?
I hope not. He's going to be on the bang bus.
It's Lance Sugarman.
She said she spells stick with two C's, by the way.
She got a vibe to her. I want to see Lance. I feel like.
Yeah.
Lance might be my brother.
And I said, Lance might have some brown.
She got that, I like white girls more better.
I like pogs.
The snow bunnies, that's everywhere. Double D's. I hook up on them, they hook up on me.
She's got a whole paragraph about her mullet, but she mentions that it's thick with two C's twice. It's thick in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Never to be tamed.
Wait, never to be tamed. And she thick in the back. Not she's. That she thick in the back. She that's the how back. We speak.
Yeah, you know what? I think we got some clues here.
Yeah.
She does play.
Mm-hmm.
She plays hockey. So who knows?
Yeah. The hockey wasn't a giveaway, but I could tell from the full body shot she got a certain body type. Mm-hmm. But once you put the two C's in there, I'm like, hold up. Hold up now.
She thick, two C's.
She thick.
Come on, she
thick. And that's right, thick with two C's, my sugar babes.
She calls her kids her sugar babies, Cooper and Paisley. Mm-hmm. I have fully embraced the mullet lifestyle. Dad's only reason for not having one is due to him not being able to grow.
Oh, shit.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold up.
Hulk Hogan had a mullet. Hulk Hogan was bald.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be about being bald.
Why can't he grow a mullet? Is it because his hair is a 4C curl pattern?
Is that? His head don't grow like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's thick with 4 C's.
Right.
He doesn't have a mullet. He has an afro.
Is he going to the Afro contest?
Yeah, there's a story here. There's a story here about Lance and Blair Sugarman.
Mm-hmm.
And she won. She beat the odds, really.
Right.
Also, she's from the city of Philadelphia. She's not from out in the country. She doesn't have alpacas at a farm.
Mm-mm.
The trapper keeper can be spotted all over the city of Philadelphia, but is truly at home when on the ice. Full-fledged ice hockey mom over here. I'm even learning to play as well. My two very special littles play for a special needs hockey team, the Philadelphia Freeze. Okay, well, she won. I don't know if the women, it might be like other sports where the women win less.
That look like they do. They're not getting 5,000.
She's not getting alpaca money. That's for sure.
Cheese Whiz took the bag.
Yeah, Cheddar Wiz got all the money, and then
Cheddar Wiz took the bag.
Trapper Keeper might get enough money to buy a Trapper Keeper. That might be the extent of it. Oh, the TPS in the chat said her husband is white. She checked. Oh,
I'm looking right now, and I'm not sure. He got a hat on. He's giving white, but I could see him being a light skinned black man passing.
Okay, is he on this website?
No, I'll give you a link in the chat so you can see it for yourself. But he's wearing a hat. He's got that. He looked white at first glance, but there's some context clues that got me wondering.
Okay.
If he might be just passing.
All right. Is this their company or something?
They collect Crocs, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I've never had Crocs. Everybody said them shits is comfortable.
They have a huge Croc collection. And at first it said Denny and Lance, but then when I... Debbie and Lance and Debbie's huge crocodile. But when you click on it, it now says Blair and Lance.
Yeah.
Which is weird that it started with Lance and Debbie's huge croc collection and says meet Blair and Lance.
So he's got a Supreme hat on.
Right? See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? It's some little context clues. I'm like,
It's the reason why he can't grow the mullet.
TPS says scrolling down, he looks biracial. Are there more pictures? Okay, there's another picture.
Yeah, at the bottom, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to do the 23andMe, but I'm a bit suspicious.
Yeah, he's not pure cut.
Yeah.
They have an Instagram. This is from Instagram, @MustUSA. Meet the collector, Blair and Lance, @SugarmanLance. Sugarman Lance. Collecting for 27 years. Have Crocs been out for that long, or has he been collecting other shit?
Right. I didn't know they've been out that long.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is not just pictures of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So they got shouted out on the Atmos USA Instagram account. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's, I guess there's quotes from him in here. I'm not going to go through and try to read every quote. But
thick with two C's, though.
Thick with two C's.
Come on, two C's.
He's talking about his favorite Crocs, which is I guess, are special to him. My favorite has to be the classic clog, comfortable and stylish. And if I ever run into trouble, all I have to do is put them in sport mode, or some might say 4x4, and handle my business.
Okay. Handle my business?
Okay. He said, handle my business. I mean, he might just be a guy from Philly, a white guy from Philly, but
could be, you know, that's it. That's true too. They talk like that too.
Right. You know, representing 215 and all, you know. Yeah, it's if he's just a white guy, then he's probably adjacent.
Yeah. He says Ock.
Right, he does say Ock. Mm-hmm. He's probably stood in a circle with Lauryn Hill and J. Rue the Damager a couple times.
Yeah. He's in the background, of course.
He listened to Black Thought and The Roots.
Right, exactly. Oh, I was into The Roots from way back, man.
I always put on more? My Crocs, go out and see.
Not my Crocs.
Go out there and watch them perform. Do You Want More?
Yeah, I was back in the old days. They were playing small clubs back then. What's that club in Philly? The Trocadero? I called it the Crocadero. That's what I called it. That's what
I'm.
You
know, Black Thought. You know what I'm saying? I call him Black Croc.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I call him Tariq. We're friends, you know, we hang out all the time. He comes to watch us play soccer. Yeah, they have, I guess, I don't know what the world of Crocs is like, but she says, when we first started getting serious about our relationship, Lance wore Crocs. I hated them. Then when I got pregnant, they were the only thing that fit me. After that, there was no turning back. As far as sneakers, I remember dying to have a pair of Air Max 97 Silver Bullets. Mm. She's a sneakerhead. I begged my mom, took them to the register and bought them. I couldn't believe it. Then I found out they were for her. I never let that down. Now I have about 6 pairs of 97s. So they're sneakerheads too, not just Crocs.
Mm. Okay.
Lance says, my first Croc memory would have been seeing them in the mall on sale. I picked up a pair and immediately loved their uniqueness of them. I bought a tan pair and wore them every day to school. I was a kindergarten teacher at the time. They were fantastic for water play during the hot days. My first memorable sneaker memory was walking to JCPenney and seeing the Reebok Pump for the first time. I couldn't believe someone would pay $100 for a sneaker.
Pump.
If I only knew what the future would bring. Okay, so they collect sneakers too. They got Wu-Tang Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
KFC Crocs. What is going on here?
They said that they smell like chicken.
They smell like chicken. I had no idea the Crocs were like this.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah. They go. They're in the
Crocs like you do Barbies, apparently.
Crocs and mullets. They got all these Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like maybe Lance has a... He's
a little brown. He's adjacent.
Yeah, they down.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to wrap up. That's the mullet championship. Every year. Cheddar Whiz, whatever her name was. Trapper Keeper. Congrats to all the mullet runner ups too.
Thank you everybody for tuning in for the mullet breakdown of 2023.
Maybe next year Cheddar Whiz can win back to back and they'll have 6 alpacas at their house.
Come on.
I hope so. And 2 wing nights.
Come on, 2 of them. And for you you freeloaders, you missed the porn talk, you know. Yeah. So we did some porn talk breakdown behind the paywall.
Yeah, fucking freeloaders. Yeah, so next week, I don't even think we ever mentioned Randolph was out this week, if you haven't realized by now. He's not just on mute the whole time.
He's very quiet.
Yeah, he's having
nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Didn't feel like talking. So he'll be back next week. He's at the beach doing family stuff. Check out his socials to see all the pictures and stuff. Or if you listen on Monday, if you go back and become a patron, then you'll hear Randolph check in on the Monday episode at the beginning. So how are we going to dismount? I guess I'll do the Randolph thing. I want to thank Rod and Karen for being on today. Thank everyone in the chat for sitting with us. I don't even know what Randolph says. I'm usually like clicking things to stop the podcast at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm setting
Come
up
on
the
back
dismount.
Next week. We'll be here for you. I think it's one of his things.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be there for this. Is the part where I'm usually getting all the stuff ready to click off the podcast. I'm like,
and it's a good freeloader jab, yeah, for you freeloaders out there. Oh, and also know that me and Roderick, we're doing a show here in Charlotte, North Carolina, September the 9th at 3 p.m. in the Knight Stadium. We have virtual
Knight Theater.
Sorry, we have virtual and online tickets. We can't wait to see you in person or virtually.
Yeah, you can get tickets at the Blumenthal Performing Arts. Go to blumenthalarts.org and put in the Blackout Tips, or just search the Blackout Tips Live. It'll come up. Buy tickets. They're only $20, and we'd like to see you there.
Yeah, I just put the link in the chat. It's right there. If you look for September 9th, 3 p.m. Yeah, you can be there in person, or you can just be virtual if you want to, from anywhere in the country, I guess. So, anything else to promote? We don't have anything else to promote. We're doing Wednesday episodes now, freeloaders. We're going live on Wednesdays. We don't know. We haven't figured out anything with a new pricing tier on Patreon or anything. It's just going to be an episode for everyone. We go live on Wednesday night, and then I put that episode up as an MP3 on Thursday, so that later in the day on Thursday, so that we have a regular Thursday episode. We'll figure out how that all goes as we go. But again, more reason for freeloaders to jump over to Patreon, because there's more stuff over there. So I guess we'll do the regular dismount, the Randolph free dismount, just like we did on Monday. I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Karen Morrow.
And I'm Rod Morrow.
And this has been Three Guys On, and we're out.